This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on the Quirky Catnips podcast, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted, which we will do until the entire audiobook has been broadcasted. We invite all you kitties to kick back now, relax, and enjoy Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
A directive from Gertrude Fletcher, head of the Naval Utah Department of Motor Vehicles. Part 9.
Secrets, secrets everywhere lead to trouble and despair. I can't remember who told me that little rhyme when I was a child. I only know it's the truest thing I have ever heard. And yet, I find myself simmering in a stew of secrets, many of which I never cooked up myself. Boyd Fletcher was the apple of my eye. I married late in life, having been burdened with helping support family members. Papa was addicted to everything that would kill a normal person: alcohol, tobacco, and gambling. It was the latter that ultimately brought me to the gaming tables at Double Deuces in Las Vegas. Like Papa, Boyd was foolishly trying to win back squandered money. That's like trying to scoop milk back into the jug once it's been spilled on the counter. Double Deuces is owned by the same racketeers I worked for at the track in New Jersey. Any way these people could separate a patsy from their money was on the table, so to speak. Casinos, payday loans, dog tracks, horse tracks, sports betting, anything and everything. I worked at the track in New Jersey until I went off to college, returning there to work during the summers and on holidays. I possess two unique qualities. I observe everything, and I know how to keep my mouth shut. This is how one survives in a mob-owned business. I spotted dozens of inaccuracies occurring in the front office at the horse track. I quietly sorted through accounting errors, payroll mistakes, and other mismanagement practices. Even at 16, I took great pleasure in ironing out the wrinkles in the business, all the while knowing it was fueled by blood money. The company I worked for was under investigation by the federal government. I was interrogated on several occasions, especially as my office duties at the horse track expanded. Unnerved as I was, I held my ground, never lying, but never revealing more than I was asked about. My steely reserve didn't go unnoticed. In fact, it was these very encounters with the FBI which forever altered the course of my life. While these events were monumental on a personal level, I wasn't able to discuss them with anyone, including Boyd. It was painful not to share my past history with my husband. But in the end, it kept Boyd out of serious trouble. It may have even saved his life. Next!
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Chapter 9. Boyd Fletcher.
The fog was a misty green. The temperatures were cool. It was too late in the year for this to be happening naturally. I couldn't smell her yet, but something was afoot all right. Miss Kitty had her back scrunched against the front door to the cabin. Every hair on her body stood straight up. When the scent of rotten meat assaulted my nostrils, I knew it wasn't Gertie. 'Twasn't my sweet grandmother Delphina, neither. No, this air pollution could only come from one source, Blue McKenna. "Go away," I said. "I don't have time for you." And that was the truth. I had to get up early in the morning to be at a Taste of Heaven bakery when they opened. Otherwise, all the cherry popovers would be gone, and I needed them. That boy from Las Vegas was coming over, and he was expecting a story. I've been dealing with scoundrels and thieves all my life. I know how things work. You gotta give something in order to get something. Telling this boy a ghost story was either plum loco or pure genius. Brandon, his name is, showed up right on time with the cat. I don't like that striped tub of attitude they call skitters, but Miss Kitty has taken a shine to him. If he doesn't visit on a regular basis, she takes off and won't come home till I get a call from Gecko's Gulch. Best to just let them get together. At least I know where my Miss Kitty is. The brown boy tagged along with Brandon. I guess he's a regular now. Good thing I got a dozen popovers. He packed away more of those treats than Brandon and me put together. You want to know about Juniper Hollow? I asked, settling into my favorite rocker. Brandon was sitting on the stoop while his friend licked up the remains of the popovers. No fooling. This tiny pipsqueak could out-eat a desert warthog. Nothing good ever happens at Juniper Hollow, I said. Everything and everyone who associates with that place gets corrupted. It's pure evil, like the Devil's Triangle. Except in this case, there's no ocean. You don't need all that water to make people disappear. They do it at Juniper Hollow with just that tiny pond. But it isn't only the water that's gone bad at Juniper Hollow. It's the whole wretched place. Nobody gets out alive. Not my wife, Gertrude, not my grandmother, and not your stepmama either. That perked up Brandon's antenna. When negotiating, it's good to keep a few cards close to your vest. Like this business about the ghosts, especially since they aren't permanent. In the days after my grandmother, Delphina, got swallowed up by the debauchery at Juniper Hollow, she appeared at my bedside. Scared the living daylights out of me. Leave me alone. I don't believe in ghosts, I screamed. I was a young boy, panicked by what I had seen. You're not real. I yelled that last line so many times I woke up the whole house, even rousting Daddy out of his drunken slumber. After that, I never saw Delphina again. With Gertie, it was different. I didn't know if the villains at Juniper Hollow killed her. I only know her spirit was still around. This time I didn't yell anything about not believing in ghosts. I missed Gertie too much to be afraid. My tank was so full of sadness, nothing could ever scare me again. Gertie hung around almost a year, fading and stinking a little less each time she visited. That's how I knew the foul odor floating up on my porch came from Blue McKenna. I never knew Blue very well. The only thing I'm certain of is that she didn't have to die. She's poking up daisies in the desert because she meddled in the chicanery at Juniper Hollow. Foolish girl kept investigating the wrong things, kicked the beehive and got swarmed. Blue was focusing on the past when she should have been looking into what was going on at Juniper Hollow right now. But that wasn't the story for tonight's telling. It doesn't matter what kind of fancy structure they build at Juniper Hollow. It always becomes a cabal of evil, I said. One depraved group replaces the other, but always involving polygamists from Zion Flats and their gangster friends. I settled in, shifting in the rocker to take the ache off my bum leg. The only reason the mob sold Juniper Hollow was because the cops finally had the place on their radar. I'd been hoping some Richie Rich from up north would come along and claim it for a summer property. I shouldn't have been surprised when it got lapped up by that slick-talking polygamist Jasper Stratton instead. Won't be long before he's cavorting with the crime syndicate out of Las Vegas, just like the rest of them. I know they're watching me. Polygamist and mobsters alike. They've been after my family for years. First, they suckered my granddaddy into distilling their devil juice during Prohibition. They haven't let up since. Having a polygamist hold the title to Juniper Hollow is no better than the hooligans who stole it from my family. I've got news for the new owner, Jasper Stratton. I'm watching him back. So should you, I said, pointing my cane at Brandon. The boy nodded, already reeled in. We Fletchers have always been good at building things. It's owning them that's the problem, I said. Our family started the Mass Ascension and Trust Company right after Joseph Stratton settled Naval back in 1857. We built the trusses for almost every building in town. My granddaddy's house at Juniper Hollow was the finest in Pitt County, even nicer than the one Joseph Stratton had for his favorite wives. Then the Great Depression rolled in, Dousing everyone's dreams like water on a bonfire. Granddaddy got in over his head, not collecting like he should have from customers at Mass Ascension, and building a mansion at the worst possible time. The mobsters preyed on him like a hungry hawk going after a field mouse. They swooped Granddaddy up and turned him into their meal ticket. Wasn't hard to figure out why. Juniper Hollow was the perfect place to distill their hooch. Prohibition was coming down hard on liquor companies, raiding them like they were killing babies. Juniper Hollow was a great little hidey hole. No one would ever suspect folks would be mixing up moonshine in a dry county plopped down in a state full of God-fearing Mormons. I spent my early years at Juniper Hollow, I continued. My mother died of cancer when I was just 5 years old. Father moved me and my two little sisters into Juniper Hollow to be raised by our grandmother, Delphina, while he helped Granddaddy on his way to an early grave. Granddaddy was a smart fella, but he had the curse of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. One morning, just as Prohibition was about to come to an end, the feds charged into Juniper Hollow, guns a-blazing. The spotter on top of Granite Ridge sent out the alarm, triggering a grisly shootout. There were bodies everywhere, including Granddaddy's. After the buzzards ate their bloody fill, the mob proclaimed victory. That should have been the last of this vile arrangement, but the Fletchers don't seem to know when to leave well enough alone. The boy knew this already, or could find out by asking just about anyone in Naval. I needed to toss him something he couldn't get anywhere else. Father never got over what happened, I said. We were forced to move into a small house in Naval. My grandmother, Delphina, was a Stratton by birth, and a close descendant of Joseph Stratton, the man who was prophet when I was a boy. Delphina stood up straight, proud in the light of the ruin all around her. Everyone in Naval thought the Fletchers were high and mighty because of Juniper Hollow. They were glad to see our whole clan take a tumble. The house in town wasn't half the size as Juniper Hollow. Delphina did her best to make things homey, up before the roosters to cook and clean. I got my own room on account of being the only male child, but we were still stacked right on top of each other. I went to work at Mass Ascension and Trust, dropping out of high school so I could take up the slack. Delphina, who once had people cleaning and cooking for her, now did her own chores, and then some. Still, Delphina found it in her heart to greet me at the door when I'd come home from a long day of breaking my back. She always said I was her godsend.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. Holy hairballs, kiddies. This isn't the only quirky thing prancing around the planet. Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park is an entire audiobook dedicated to quirky cat stuff.
This is a story for people who appreciate a good cat tale. The rest of you can go stab yourselves with your stupid allergy pens.
Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Get it today on audible.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
It hurt to tell this story, but if I was going to get this boy on my side, it had to be done. Father took to the bottle, swelling his life away. Liquor is the worst kind of sin. Cunning and cruel, I said. He couldn't unhinge himself from the gangsters at Juniper Hollow, sinking further and further into depravity. He borrowed money from the mob, then drank to try to forget what he'd done. Pure humiliation in a community like Naval, where alcohol is shamed and rejected. One night, the hooligans called in their note. No one in Naval locks their doors at night, so they walked right in and rousted Father and Delphina from sleep. My sisters were just wee ones at the time, crying and fussing as they roughhoused Father and Delphina, forcing them into their truck. One of them stayed behind, holding a gun on me and my weeping sisters. I will never forgive those degenerates for the fear they inflicted. I had to take a deep breath before I could go on. Father was taken to Juniper Hollow and beaten senseless. Liquor had turned Father into a liar, which meant no one believed his account of what happened. Father claims Delphina was able to make a run for it. They never found her body, even after I got the authorities from Naval involved. I knew I had a target on my head for calling the coppers, but by that time they already squeezed all the juice out of Father. We were left like discarded trash to spoil in the desert. I searched for Delphina long after the authorities in Naval gave up. Not that they really put much elbow grease into finding her. Delphina had Stratton blood in her heritage, but being associated with a family in cahoots with criminals erased her good standing. Unable to manage things at Mass Ascension and Trust, I took over for Father. The drinking got worse, till one day Father had a massive stroke, leaving him speechless and frozen on one side of his body. The church put Father up as a charity case where he withered like a grape on a vine until he died a few years later. I scrimped and scraped at the business for decades, never able to climb out of the hole my father and granddaddy threw our family in. Not having anything to offer, I didn't court any ladies, knowing I couldn't feed another mouth. I grew sour and resentful, working my fingers to the bone and never getting ahead. One day, I decided I was going to get back at the mob responsible for all this ruin. Ditching Sunday worship services, I began to hang around Double Deuces, the Las Vegas casino owned by the ruffians who ensnared my family into their bootleg booze operation. I tried to win back the money they stole, only to lose more. On one particular Sunday, I bet the farm, deciding to put it all on the line. Those mobsters have no heart, taking all I had plus my dignity. Defeated, I sat in my truck in the parking lot of Double Deuces, contemplating ways to kill myself. I didn't have a gun with me, although Why I drove all the way down there without one is a head-scratcher for sure. I didn't want to admit to the next part of the story, but it was something Brandon couldn't get from anyone else. I had to earn his trust. I'm not a man taken to crying, but there I sat, blubbering in the Las Vegas heat, I said. I was so eaten up by my own misery, at first I didn't hear the tapping on the window. Gracious God in heaven, I had given these mobsters everything I had. What did they want now? Go away, I shouted at the irksome window tapper. It was the lady who had robbed me at the blackjack table. I was about to drive off, but didn't, realizing I had nowhere to go. The annoying woman kept tapping. Finally, I rolled the window down and was about to lay into her, cursing all the damage done to me and my kin. The hand on my shoulder should have made me jump. If I had my wits about me, I would have viewed that gesture as a threat. Turns out it wasn't. It was my Gertie, there to warn me not to come back to the Double Deuces. Why not? I demanded. They killed my grandparents and brought shame to my entire family. I have nothing to lose. Let those bastards come after me. It'll save me the trouble of doing myself in. That's when I lost it. Years of working myself weary, only to wind up further in debt, was more than I could bear. Gertie said I should get a move on. Not wanting to die in the sweltering parking lot of the casino owned by the thieves who stole everything my family ever had, I rolled out. It wasn't until I was at the stoplight that I noticed the note Gertie had dropped into my lap, instructing me to meet at a coffee shop off the strip. Drinking coffee is a sin, but then so is making bathtub whiskey. I could tell those boys didn't give a hoot about drinking coffee. It isn't a sin in their spoiled existence, what with all their Starbucks and such. Continuing on with my tale, I said, I wasn't sure if I was walking into a trap, but thinking it would look better if I got murdered instead of taking my own life, I slinked into the nearly empty restaurant. Who knows? Maybe the authorities in Las Vegas wouldn't take too kindly to a mob killing. Taking a seat, I said yes when the waitress asked if I wanted coffee. It was bitter as hell, but that black brew woke me up in a way I'd never been before. Gertie came in a few minutes later, sliding into the booth next to me. I'd never been that close to a woman before who wasn't my sister or mother. I looked over at those boys, annoyed by the expressions on their teenage faces. I plowed on. Gertie was a pint-sized thing with not an ounce of fat on her. She wore her hair in a bureaucratic bun and peered out at the world through the thickest glasses. I thought she was beautiful. We talked for a long time. It was dark when I drove back to Naval. Everything was still as wrecked as before, but I had Gertie's phone number. I didn't want to seem too eager, but I just couldn't help calling Gertie every chance I could. You know how that goes, don't you, boys? Both of them nodded. Gertie seemed so worldly, yet mysterious. She never would let on about her family or the connection she had to the outlaws who owned Double Deuces. One thing was for sure. Gertie didn't trust these people and said I shouldn't either. We started meeting in Mesquite. Gertie's days off were Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'd clock out early at Mass Ascension. That ship was going down with or without me. As you know, Mesquite is just a wide place in the road where they threw up a few casinos. Gertie never stayed in any of them. She'd get a room at the budget motel, and I'd pick her up. Sometimes we'd drive to St. George and have ourselves a nice meal. Other times, we'd take my truck out to Gold Butte for a picnic. We always had coffee. I didn't let on to these kids that the coffee excited me almost as much as Gertie. Although she never said why, Gertie wanted out of Las Vegas and away from Double Deuces. Eventually, Gertie quit her job at the casino. I was happy to make an honest woman of her. We got hitched in St. George to avoid getting a Nevada marriage license. Gertie even took on the last name of Fletcher, which kind of surprised me. But I suppose if you want to be anonymous in a small town like Naval, having the last name of Fletcher is one way to do it. There's almost as many Fletchers as there are Strattons. By the time Gertie had become my missus, Mass Ascension and Trust was heading straight for bankruptcy. I sold the house Delphina kept so clean and tidy and moved up to Granite Ridge. My sisters have a stake in the Ridge property, but everyone could see the writing on the wall. I was about to be homeless with a brand new wife. My brother-in-law stepped in and brokered a deal with some of the Stratton boys who had been chomping at the bit waiting for the business to fold. Handing over the keys to Mass Ascension and Trust felt like pulling a 6-inch splinter out of my hand. Pure relief, even though it left me all dug up. I could tell Brandon hadn't heard this part of the story. I went on. Gertie got herself a job at the DMV, tightening up that operation until it became the one government department that actually worked. I filed for disability on account of a bum leg I got when a truss fell off a crane back in my early years at Mass Ascension. Darn thing keeps me up at night. Anyway, between Gertie's job and my government dole, we were able to limp by. I never felt safe, though. I used my free time trying to root out the evil that was happening right below my property. After the feds rounded up a bunch of polygamists and one of the ringmasters from Las Vegas last summer, Jasper Stratton sprang onto the scene to snatch up Juniper Hollow for his own misdeeds. Brandon wanted to know how everyone kept getting away with so many crimes. Well, as you know from all your trespassing, there's only one road into Juniper Hollow, but there's three ways to get out. Ideal for committing wrongdoings. During Prohibition, they always had a spotter on top of Granite Ridge. If anyone tried to come through the entrance of the property, they'd alert the people making moonshine in the catacombs. I know you boys want to explore the caverns underneath the ridge, but you should know, they zag in so many directions, even I could get lost in there. You saw the stakes Granddaddy pounded into one of the shafts that goes up to the top of the ridge? It takes a lot of nerve to climb it. The cops never wanted to mess with the catacombs. Maybe it's the bats. Maybe it's because it's easy to get turned around in there. Just a warning in case you're feeling foolish. The boys shot each other a knowing look. I saw last summer you found the second way out through Fletcher's sneak. Granddaddy called it his lucky break. It was like Mother Nature had carved out an escape route right through the basin of rock under Granite Ridge. Granddaddy hauled out a few boulders blocking portions of the sneak, which is a whole lot safer and faster than climbing up the ridge. If you boys get into trouble at Juniper Hollow, that's the best way to make a run for it. Don't tell me you aren't itching to see what these new racketeers are up to. I was just guessing at this. Either way, I was going to make sure they did. I don't know what kind of news organization hires a 16-year-old boy, but Brandon had landed himself a post at the Naval Weekly Banner. They have him on the circuit for every dog and pony show in town. But Brandon claims he's free to do side projects, whatever that means. How about a side of crime, city boy? It was time to deliver the goods. I said, there's no telling what the new scam is, but since we have polygamists running things at Juniper Hollow, you know for sure something isn't above board. It's just the way these polygamists work. Break every law they can without getting arrested, then line up for a government handout. Needing to put a little meat on the bone, I added, "How about this side slider, Brandon? Your stepmother is haunting Juniper Hollow. And my Gertie is helping her." I didn't know about the last part, just a niggling feeling. Brandon actually flinched when he heard this. Had he seen something? Or maybe he just smelt her. That woman stinks from here to hell and back. The time had come to show my cards. Did you know Blue was killed in the same exact spot as my Gertie? This time Brandon actually gagged. Even that hungry friend of his looked up from the phone he was holding. I could tell I had their attention. It's no coincidence both women were killed by hitting the same granite pillar on the bridge in front of Juniper Hollow. My granddaddy built those pillars with rock carved out of Granite Ridge. He wanted them to match the ones marking the entrance to Juniper Hollow. The ones for the drainage ditch were a bit too fancy for their purpose. But Granddaddy pulled out all the stops when it came to building his dream home. Your stepmother had a line on what was going down at Juniper Hollow, I said. As you know, she was fixing to write a book about that place. That's why they had to shut her up. The boy looked a bit weepy, which surprised me. You aren't going to let them get away with murder, are you, boy?
What happens when cosmetics and polygamy collide? Find out in Quirky Killers by Adele Park. Take a trip to quirky polygamist country, where one of the local brides is just itching to get her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Quirky Killers, get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.